On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
So you get excited because they're excited, gets me excited, gets all of our fans excited, and our sponsors. So it's going to work out.
Bless you, boys! Unbelievable! I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Step into the well-informed, ill-advised, and oddly entertaining world of Tall Can Sports.
Here we go!
Light the candle!
What's going on, everybody? All new episode of Tall Can Sports for your Monday morning. Rob's over there.
Yes, he is. It's true. He's here in the studio.
What's happening, man? They say the heat wave has broke.
Who says that?
Come all the way down to 28.
Yeah, overnight.
Yeah.
Because I find it still to be swass inducing.
It's fucking terrible. I read a story this morning that was all about, across the majors, they were trying to keep people, they had the spritzers right up behind the stands trying to, like, mist people in the Major League Baseball. Yeah.
Not majors as in golf majors and the British.
No.
It was in Northern Ireland where they were getting spritzed by nature continually.
Nice. And no one important made the cut, so you were able to turn that off right away. But, yeah, across Major League Baseball, they're saying, on the field in some of these stadiums, it was like 113 degrees in Cleveland, places like that. Detroit got a bit of rain on Saturday, which I think everyone was pretty pumped to see around the fourth inning. And they said at Yankee Stadium, at one point, the loudest ovation of the game came from out of nowhere. Just this breeze swept through the stadium.
Yeah, well.
And everybody's, yeah, thank you.
Well, and that kind of heat really induces umpires to have heart attacks.
That'd be a real shame, Angel Hernandez. They were saying they were running in.
He's
and
too
hang-
fit, man. It's not.
Yeah, no, you're right. Vic Carapazza, is he the one who keeps fucking the Blue Jays, I think? Yeah. But that they were
more,
running in.
More people that you're wishing to die. That is.
Well, just a little sunstroke.
That is completely inappropriate.
What have you been doing this weekend, man? How did the weekend treat you? I know you have a pool. Did it help keep the heat down for you?
Yeah, well, there was a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
So.
No.
In between that. But honestly, there's a new deck out back.
Yeah.
Cedar, and honestly, you go out and it's so humid and there's this slight breeze, and I'm not sure how the breeze doesn't drop the temperature, but
no,
it's like it's blowing hot air in a sauna. You walk out and you get that sort of damp cedar smell, and it's just like, it's like a, yeah. So
no to the pool.
Yeah, the pool actually, man, like I said to you the other day, it brings the temperature down nicely.
Yeah.
And the house is like a meat locker,
right?
Keeping it now, you know what? It's only set to 70, but because the difference is got to be 30 degrees from the two, you get in there and it's like, oh my God, it's chilly. I should put a sweater on. Seems ridiculous, right?
Fuck yourself, Mother Nature.
Yeah, this is it. I'm in here. Well, and the reality is, like, that's like 20 degrees.
Yeah,
and I don't keep the house that warm in the winter.
No.
So people are like, oh, it's too cold. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? This is warmer than it is in January in this house.
Well, on Friday afternoon, I had somebody over for a drink or two, and we opened the balcony, sat down
idea.
For about 3 seconds. Like, this sucks. Like, why are we even out here?
Yeah.
This, That's at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. You'd think it'd be starting to cool down.
Stand up and the crotch of my shorts are all wet.
Plus I'm sweating.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a long way to the bathroom.
Back
man.
Inside.
Come
man,
on, honestly.
It's just, yeah, unpleasant, man.
Well, and so. I noticed this the studio and the green room were not its normal in previous incarnations of the
I can't
studio.
Get there, man.
said he a bunch yeah, of times.
Sure.
Whatever it is you want me to do, I can't get there. Beyond that, I'm not sure. Did you have more you wanted to say about that?
What? No. Not really.
I want to know,
have you ever seen the rain?
Yes. Coming down
I would
on
love
a sunny
to see
day.
Rain.
Yeah, well, it was today. Today it was supposed
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Would you rather in a professional football match, would you rather get shut out or would you, are you feeling pride with the rouge on the board?
Yeah, okay.
At the end of the day,
it's just,
would you rather lose 36-0 or 36-1?
A missed field goal that still gets you a point.
It was a punt, actually.
Yeah. I probably want the rouge just to be a dick, right? Like
I'm feeling like that's fucking terrible.
No, I'm not getting shut out here if I have to punt.
You did get shut out.
No,
a 75-yard punt is what's kept you.
The rules say I scored a point. I'm going with that. I
leave
think.
It. I don't want it, man. If I was as bad to that I couldn't even get within field goal range, give me the goose egg. That's what I deserve. Take a look at that big bagel on the board right there. That's me. I did that today.
Well, somewhat relatedly, but not, in terms of cheap victories over real victories. On Saturday night, the UFC hosts another event and set a record when the first 9 fights, beating the previous record of 8 fights, went to judge's decision.
Boo.
Are you feeling cheated? Now, first 9 fights means you're getting the prelims and the Facebook fights and the whatever they used to call them, right? Before. But if you bought tickets to that and everything is just guys clinching against the fucking fence and like it's just terrible by all accounts. I obviously didn't watch the pay-per-view card. These were some stats I was pulling off Twitter, and obviously I watched a little bit of the prelims. You feeling cheated? Or is that just like the nature of the sport now?
Well,
right?
No, not necessarily, because there are fights that go to the judges. Like you think about a vintage Diego Sanchez, Clay Guida.
Right.
Right? Where it's just 3 rounds of hair and fists, just and it's just action, and you're like, wow, that can I get another round of that? There's those,
yeah.
And then, as you say, then there's I'm gonna hold you down, or I'm gonna hold you against. Nobody likes that.
No.
I don't care if you're a grappling fan, if you're a fan of the striking,
right?
Nobody wants to see somebody get pressed up against the cage and neutralized, as opposed to, pushing for the offensive advantage.
Right. Yeah, to me, 9 fights. Now, I've been to a couple of UFC cards, one in Montreal, at least one in Toronto. I think it's just one in Toronto.
I was
never showed up for the Facebook fights.
No.
Like, you're somewhere drinking and you show up, you catch most of the prelims and
it's
then
like the opening band.
The main card. Exactly. So, maybe most people weren't feeling too cheated yet, right? Maybe they missed a bunch of the first few, but at some point it just sets a bad fucking tone for the whole night. And I know that's part of the sport and, it can go that way, but doesn't it feel more and more like that's happening? And I don't know if it's an evolution of the sport or guys are more evenly matched or people are willing to take less chances. I just feel like we see less and less finishes every year.
Well, you see the previous week, and I believe it was the Jones. I can't remember who Jones fought, but the Nunez and Holmes was was the other co-main event. There was a pile of finishes.
Right.
Now the Jones fight went to a decision.
All right.
But prior to that, and I remember because I'm scrolling through it on my phone, I'm like, okay, decision, as opposed to going UD,
yeah,
SD, UD, 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 and you're like, oh man, those are predominantly, unless, like I said, unless it's a firecracker event, Yeah, you don't like that.
Well, last year, remember, we ordered the one, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that was the St. Pierre Bisping.
Yeah, and people were getting knocked out and tapped out left and right,
and,
man.
And it was the whole main card was dying. Like that was the best card I'd and seen that's live.
It,
or,
it stands
or,
out because there was so many finishes. There was so much action. And I feel like when I first got into this, you know, I was a little behind the wave, but jumped on it kind of late 06 into 07.
Yeah, it's still quite a while ago.
Yeah. I felt like there was a lot more crazy shit going on and people getting finished all over the place. And just gradually as it's gone, it just feels a little less,
well,
a little less action, right?
Because even in 05, 06, you still had strikers.
Yeah.
Who were working on their ground game.
Yes.
Or you had wrestlers who were working on their striking game. Now,
that's the evolution of the sport.
Everybody comes, well, most people come as traditional, true mixed martial artists, right? And so you have less of this sort of, I'm not confident in all of my game. So, you know, you still have people who want to keep it standing, right? Like if, you know, I don't want to take Matt to the ground because he's going to submit me,
right?
Your ground game is better than mine. There's still that.
Sure.
But
everybody's way more well-rounded than they used to be.
So much more competent in all facets of the game. So, yeah, I don't want to see that. But that's where the ref has to, if it is a stalemate, you got to stand him up.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. If there is nobody working for an advantage, and it is just stalling.
Yeah.
Stand them up. Break them up. Like that is in the ref's discretion. So there needs to be more of that.
Before we go too much further, those of you who follow us on Patreon, and you can all do that at patreon.com/tallcanaudio, found out the other day that we have a guest coming in on Tuesday to the studio. Mr. Steve Warren of the Steve Warren Project podcast, formerly almost 20 years. At TSN 1200 in Ottawa. I know both of you, or both of us at times, you certainly longer than me, have quite enjoyed his work on the morning show. That's, for as long as I've known who he is, it's always been a morning show deal. I don't know if before that he was ever anywhere else on the show. Tell us a little bit about Steve Warren.
Steve is a longtime guy, born and raised in the area, right? Hails from places as fine as Venosta. Richmond, Ontario.
Sure.
Right? Other places up the line. But he's a guy who's been in radio, working in Arm Prior, I think, or Smith Falls, right? Coming up the old school radio way, right? Working country music in some small pimple-ass town, right? But then making his way in through, he's been a reporter, right? Locker room guy in the early days of the Senators. Did I think, and he'll clear this up either. I believe it was play by play for the Ottawa Lynx when they were first here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then, yeah, for at least since, you know, 05 ish. Yeah. An original Ottawa sports radio guy, a Tigor guy from way back. I've listened to him for a pile of years and I'll be interested to see if he remembers our kids played, our daughters played Timbits hockey together.
Oh, nice.
So, I remember him. He was already at that time a local celeb.
Big radio star.
Me, not so much. So, his voice is instantly recognizable. But his daughter was a year older than mine, so it was only my daughter Madison's first year.
Right.
But his daughter's second year of Timbits. And so, yeah, I'll jog his memory on that a bit too. But all-around good guy.
He'll be in here on Tuesday. So we will get that up. Late Tuesday night, but for most of you, it'll be a Wednesday morning kind of deal. But really looking forward to having Steve on the show. So stick around for that. Like I said, a lot of people got a leg up. Got to find out first if you want to be one of them. Patreon.com/TallCanAudio. Big deal between the Flames and Oilers towards the end of last week as the immovable contract is moved down the highway to Calgary. Were you surprised? I gotta say, before we get into the Lucic thing, and I've ridden that into the fucking ground over the last several years, I was a little surprised, if I'm being honest, that the Flames gave up on James Neal quite as quick as they did. I guess if there's anybody out there who hasn't heard, who's, you know, treating their summer far better than I am and not paying attention to fucking hockey trades in mid-July.
They're clearly not on Twitter because
That
was all Twitter was about.
Right. James Neal for Milan Lucic, straight up, but the Oilers hold on to 12%, I believe it was.
$750,000
Yeah, of his contract.
And here's the kicker. If Neal outscores Lucic by 10 or more, that third round draft pick kicks in too.
Okay, I actually had no idea there was a third round draft pick.
Yeah, so. But that is if Neal scores him by outscores him by 10 or more, which you know is going to happen.
Of course that's going to happen. So
you might as well throw that third in there too.
Yep. All right. Were you surprised that the Flames gave up on James Neal quite this fast?
For sure.
Yeah.
Like the reality is, and help me out because I should have looked this up. I think Lucic has 3 more years.
Yeah.
And Neal, was that a 5-year deal he signed?
It was a 5-year deal. So he has 1 more year left than Lucic.
So there's 4 more years. But I can guarantee you that he will far outproduce Milan Lucic.
Yeah, I guess the thing for me is James Neal had a terrible year last year, but he's only 1 year removed from being almost a 30-goal guy in Vegas. And, you know, over the 4 years previous, shot anywhere from 10 to 13%. Last year, he shoots 3%. You know that's going to rebound. Will he ever be a 30-goal guy again? I don't know. Probably not.
Okay, but
playing with Connor McDavid, you got a shot at it.
In 11 seasons in the NHL, that was his first sub-20-goal season.
Exactly.
And now, he was with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Before Vegas?
Before Vegas, and I think he was in Nashville after. I think that's who he took. That Vegas took from Nashville,
okay.
I believe.
All right. And so the back-to-back cup runs were Vegas last year.
Yes.
And Nashville the year before.
Right.
Because I was reading something and they were talking about him back-to-back seasons of going right into June, and just maybe
pretty
not.
Sure.
Sure. Well, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who had played a ton of hockey in the previous 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And I think there's no way that guy doesn't score over 20 goals next year.
Right. I'm stunned. And to me, like I said, I don't know if he'll ever touch 30 again or come close to that again. But he's not going to shoot 3% again next year. So
what's up with Alex Chiasson? If that dude's getting points, you know James Neal's riding into town is going to get something. If they're going to play him with more likely, it looks like with Hopkins than
sure
than with McDavid. I think, but.
Well, we'll see, yeah.
Do you give any credence to the idea that he's a bit of a malcontent?
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that he's not a... I have some sources who maybe know the family just a little bit, that maybe he's not a super pleasant guy to be around all the time and that he wears out his welk. You know, I don't know.
Hard crowd, man.
Yeah. I wonder if... Like how could that have been established in 1 year in Calgary? He just got off to a terrible start.
Right.
And that probably did make him more difficult to be around, but he can't have worn out. Like, to me, I don't understand what Calgary... Because even if he's a total bust in Edmonton too, you can buy out that contract, which you can't do to the Lucic one, and free up $3 million in cap space in compared to what you had with Lucic. Like, this is a no-brainer for Edmonton. I assume James Neal will be better, but if he's not, you can punt that guy, and you can't punt Lucic. I don't know what Calgary's doing.
Yeah, and because Lucic, in Lucic's contract, he had a rock solid no trade.
Yep.
And yet
agreed to waive to go to Calgary.
Yeah, and if you look at it, and when you start reading, I was on The Athletic. They had a round table and they were talking about it, and all this talk from the Calgary side is how they tried to pick up Ryan Reeves last year because they needed something with a little bit more heavy hockey. And if you think at this age, Milan Lucic is going to go back to being this feared heavy hockey player.
He's got to catch up to whoever he wants to beat up first.
It ain't happening. That's the thing with Ryan Reeves.
Yeah.
Or even, what's his face? Tom Wilson. Those guys can skate.
Right.
They're getting where they need to be with a bang.
Yep.
Right? And
right in your face.
Yeah, and Wilson's going to bring a pile of points, but he's going to bring points.
Yeah.
Reeves, not so much, unless he's playing Ottawa. 2 goals, I think, last year in one of the games as the fourth line of Vegas wreaked havoc. But yet, Lucic isn't doing any of those things.
No.
And if you think for a second, Calgary, that you're going to get anything out of this guy, like, this is a guy who's just done.
Well, and the other thing, I talked about how Edmonton, if they have to, can buy out James Neal.
Yeah.
They can also allow, they can expose him in the Seattle expansion draft, which you can't.
Yep.
With Lucic. So
right,
again, all these contractual things, there's just nothing that says to me that this was a good idea for Calgary. And if I'm Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers, I'm like holding my hand over the mouthpiece of my phone while I'm talking to Calgary. Like, I can't believe they're going for this. I can't believe they're going to fucking do this. Like, every part of this.
Do you think Koskinen too?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just asking.
I think James Neal will be better in Edmonton, but if he's not, whatever. And when you get to the expansion draft, you don't have to risk somebody you give a shit about. You can expose him, which you can't do to Lucic, so Calgary will have to expose somebody more important. There's just nothing about this that makes any sense. I've done nothing but rip the Oilers for years. I have no idea how they pulled this off, but I'm fucking impressed.
Well, that's like, Kenny Holland.
I guess. I guess, man.
And really, I'm telling you, you can chalk Neal up for 20 to 25 goals this year.
Okay.
He's only 31.
Yeah.
He's not ancient, right? Now, that I know that is in this day and age.
Right.
If you look at, I'm willing to chalk a lot more up to two long seasons, an ill-fit, poor start in Calgary,
yep.
and how that played out.
It just went bad in a hurry.
He is right now, he's working with Gary Roberts. Not just working with Gary Roberts, he's staying with Gary Roberts.
Right.
Right. This is a guy who's going to come into Edmonton
yep.
and be in lights-out shape.
Right.
Right. Has had a long summer. Way to go, Oilers. Right? And so he's going to be, well, sorry, and Flames too, because that's really where Neal was, sorry. But a very short five-game playoffs for your Western Conference regular season champions.
Whoops.
But yeah, I think he's going to roll in there and be in prime shape. And I don't think you trade him, unless you trade him on a 25-goal season. But Edmonton is starving.
For
the guy would The guy would have to be a super asshole for them to want to flip him.
Right.
Honestly, he should get his number retired for being part of the Lucic deal. Like, honestly, they're going to throw rose petals out for this guy.
No, it's true, man. I think I don't see any way.
Fan favorite without even taking the ice yet.
Yeah. I don't see any way that Edmonton won this deal, but absolutely fleeced Calgary. I just don't get what Calgary thought they were doing.
Well, here, and it was interesting because one of the articles I was reading, they were talking about when they signed Neal, they signed him as a guy who's been on winning teams.
Yep.
And so they were bringing him in to help with the leadership.
Well, he's got a little sandpaper to him, which they lack a little bit in terms of, you know, Johnny Hockey's not bringing that. Matthew Tkachuk does, but
Monahan does not.
And who's the guy they brought out of Carolina? Lindholm.
Yep.
He doesn't. So they thought they were addressing a need, and I thought it would go better in Calgary than it did, and it very did not. So
very did not.
Here we are.
And all I'm saying is, I'm continually getting James Neal confused career-wise with Patrick Sharp. I don't know whether, to me, the two of them are sort of like...
It's weird, man.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Okay, but then you know what? Then it's completely me.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, he's been in a bunch of places and on teams that have done very well.
Yeah.
So guys who can score 20 or more goals and continue to help teams win.
Right.
Continue to get jobs.
It's true, man.
And so to me, as you've pointed out already, forget about contract status and ability to buy out, trade, expose.
Yeah.
If as long as he rebounds to that 10-12% shooting percentage.
Yep.
He's going to get himself, somebody's going to want him next year.
Well, and he's going to play on a power play with some pretty fucking sweet passers, and like, he'll be all right.
What I'm saying. So you can already kiss goodbye to that third rounder.
Yeah. Because
there's
no way
that he's not getting 20 and Lucic is getting more than 10.
Right. It's true, man.
So this is fantastic. And I'll be intrigued to see what kind of train wreck this turns out to for Calgary. Because to me, Lucic was forget about his time in LA. What a bust. Like you even almost forget that he was in LA.
Yes.
You know, he had his times when he was in Boston where he was getting close to 30 goals.
Yep.
And he was a feared man. You didn't know. Like that was a guy who he could grab a hold of you and just dummy you.
It's true.
And hit, you know, he was like a wine barrel rolling around the deck of a ship loose, right? Like you're just like, you have no idea.
Right.
He's lost all those things.
He just can't keep up now, right? And I have to assume that the reason he was willing to trade or waive his no trade to go to Calgary was because he knew his time in Edmonton had been worn out, and he's a Western Canadian kid. Eventually, he was going to be forced to relinquish that no trade and go somewhere. Right. At least now.
And Vancouver wasn't willing to do the Erickson for Lucic.
At least now I get to stay in Western Canada, whereas 3 months from now, maybe Calgary's moved on and it's only God knows where, a long way from home, right? So at least this, you wave, you go, you're still kind of close to home. But man, it's bad. I'm blown away by this. But maybe for the first time ever on this show, I will say kudos to the Oilers.
Well, that's the classy Ken Holland.
I guess.
Not the rest of you stupid Oilers.
speaking of classy, why don't we talk a little...
Oh, look at you with your great segue.
On Sunday afternoon, the Baseball Hall of Fame welcomed a new class, which included probably my favorite player ever, Roy Halladay, certainly beloved by all Jays fans. I don't think any of them have a bad word to say about him.
I do.
Okay, why don't I give you the floor to trash the departed Doc Halladay?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
My only thing, and I'll start this open-faced shit sandwich with, I'm saddened that he's going into the hall with no logo.
Yep.
Right, like, and I know the man has passed away, and so unless there's some written thing somewhere, that this isn't just his family choosing.
This is his family choosing, and I think we talked about this when it was announced.
His family said he wanted to go in as a Philly, did they not?
So he said multiple times, including in a feature interview on Sportsnet with Stephen Brunt, that he wanted to wear the Blue Jays cap. That's why he re-signed there for the one day thing at the end of his career when he retired. He'd been working with some of their minor league guys. At some point, it looks like things may have gone sour just a little bit towards the end, and I wonder if after his death maybe the Phillies weren't more supportive of the family, taking better care of things. I don't know, but at some point, like, there's video more than once of him saying, I want to go in as a Blue Jay if I'm going in. And once he's gone, that's not happening anymore. So I wonder if behind the scenes, either before or after he died, if something didn't sort of go whatever. But, you know, that's, I guess, neither here nor there. I'm with you. I'm disappointed that he's going in with no...
He's a Blue Jay.
Logo. He's a fucking Blue Jay, man.
You had some great success, but you did. If you look at, as a guy who's got two Cy Youngs, one in each league,
yep,
a perfect game, a postseason no-hitter, a World Series champion, those are all great. And I know a good chunk of that success came with the Phillies.
Yep.
The reality is he became the pitcher he is, and obviously a damn fine one in Toronto,
yeah,
right? Cy Young winner there.
Yep.
You look at that guy, and we've talked about it. I know I've beat it like a dead horse. The fact that he didn't have his shit going for him early in his career and said, forget it, I'm going to scrap it and go all the way back to single A.
Yep.
Well,
I don't know. That was totally up to him, but he did embrace it once it happened.
But he was absolutely involved in... Yeah, embracing it.
Yeah, Gord Ash and that management group at that time said, you got to go back, man. We got to rebuild this. Mel Queen was involved in that long time. Blue Jays.
And him embracing it.
Yep.
Because he came back and listening to an interview with Pete Walker, who's current pitching coach and a former teammate.
Yes.
And he said, to me, he said it best. He said, when Doc had his good stuff, you didn't have a chance.
Right.
And if you look at the way, you know, that ball would just drop off the table. When he was really hitting it, it would just be right there, belt high, bam, it's at my ankles, right? And unhittable, and the words and Shapiro.
I think we're going with Shapiro.
Okay. I thought, you can't talk about, you can't comment on Halliday. Right. You don't know. You're an Indians guy.
Yep.
However, he said, the two words he used to refer to Roy Halliday were passion and grace. And I think it's such a unique combo, right?
Yeah.
You to be passionate, but to do it in a way that's graceful.
Yeah.
Is highly unique to have an athlete to be passionate,
yeah,
and to still do it with grace is so rare, right? And to me, that's what makes him really great.
And so many guys talked about, first of all, after, you know, for those who don't remember, he was killed in a plane accident, right? He loved to fly. Afterwards, his dad was a pilot, whatever. So that's how he ends up losing his life. So after that happens, there's a pile of talk from old teammates, old opponents on, you know, how he carried himself, how he can, and tons of them would say he didn't talk to Roy on the days he was pitching. He wasn't always a pleasant guy to be. He wasn't rude, but he wasn't going to stop and joke around. He was just there to do his business. And he had all kinds of younger guys, including AJ Burnett, who I'm going to talk about in a second, that when they arrived as Blue Jays said, I want to do what Doc does. I want to follow his regime. That involved showing up at the spring training complex at 4:30 in the morning. And multiple guys said, I thought he was ribbing me, right? I'm a rookie. He's trying to haze me here. I'm going to show up at 4:30. He won't be there. Not only was he already there, he was already there halfway through his workout, right? Show up at 4:30 in the morning, do your thing, and go home. And nobody lasted, right? Everybody would show up, do it a couple times, and go, this is fucking crazy.
Somebody in the press, and I can't remember if it was Elliot or, you know, saying, yeah, well, I want to do a feature on Roy Halliday. When can I have a little time? And the PR guy saying, yeah, the best time to get him is either right before or right after his morning workout.
Right.
And they're like, okay, sure. When's that? And they're like, yeah, you gotta be here by 5 a.m. I'm like, what?
Fuck that.
Yeah. So they're talking about, having to sit in Dunedin in the dark.
Yeah.
In the parking lot and going, are they shitting me? Exact same thing you just talked about with Burnett or any of the rookies. And you're like, no, that's because that's when he's there.
Yeah. I want to talk just quickly, before we wind down on Doc. Yeah. Memories of him. Everybody's talking about that first one hitter against Detroit when he's a rookie. It's September 98. It's the last game of the season. And the thing that is interesting to me, it's broken up with two outs in the ninth inning as Bobby Higginson goes deep. The thing that people don't talk about is the Jays had a great year that year, but were eliminated from playoff contention. And so because it's the last game of the season, Doc's out there as a rookie doing his thing. The Jays keep pulling their better defenders off the field, right? Get them that moment. Everybody can clap. Hey, great season. So in the third inning, Sean Green gets pulled, right? In the fourth inning.
The Jolton Jew, Sean Green.
All right. I didn't know. it's a great nickname. But guys are being pulled out. And so by the time he's trying to finish this thing out, it's a skeleton cast of call-ups and backups. And
it was Gonzalez and Delgado also on that team.
Yeah, they were also pulled
and they were
early in the game.
They had to make it to their milk commercial?
Well, maybe. and the catcher that they interviewed who came in the fourth, I'd never heard of. It was something Brown. I don't even remember you. But he caught most of that game for Roy because it was all backups. And when you're talking about no hitters and shit, you're looking for people to make big plays to help you keep it going. And this is not going to be the cast, right? But he threw 95 pitches in that game, 73 for strikes, and the game was over in an hour and 52 minutes. Part of that is it's the last game of the season. Everybody's up there swinging at everything. Yeah, get the hell out of here. But that would come to be a calling card for Doc, right, is that game. The one that I remember, though, is May of 2009. It's A.J. Burnett's return to Toronto with the Yankees, and he is enemy number one, right? He had the option to opt out. It hadn't gone super well with the Blue Jays. He wasn't terrible, but he never got it totally together like they thought he would with Doc. And wouldn't you know it, he's going to face Halliday. And it wasn't one of Doc's cleanest outings, but
the crowd was so there. I remember watching that game with my buddy. Everybody's, you know, locked in on our guy, right? He's going to, you know, you left for the big bad Yankees and Doc's going to shut this down for us. And he did. And they won, got the job done, right? And I remember that to me as feeling like our guy. And that's sort of maybe my biggest memory of.
And over more than any one specific memory, right? He always had the great sweaty-headed, take the cap off.
Yes, for sure.
Doff it to the crowd, right? And he always had that head of hair where you're like, keep the hat on, man. Just give us a wave.
Yeah.
But he was, you hear the term stopper all the time.
We needed one.
Well, this is it, right? And for before he left, right, in those last couple of years before he left, he was that 1-in-5 guy.
Yes.
Right, where you go, oh man, we're on a crazy slide, but here's the bumper.
Yep.
Bam.
We're gonna get one here.
This is it, right? Or you have a legit chance.
Yeah.
Always when he comes. And so you hear the term stopper all the time, but to me he was a legit stopper.
Yeah. Ted Lillies and Josh Towers is
Ted Lillies trying to fight.
These fucking guys. Yeah. Man, it was Kelvin Escobar, and you know, we didn't have very many star studded rotations, so but he was always the guy, and I remember maybe as mad as I've ever been at any team, and that's saying something with how long the Leafs have treated me like shit. When it became obvious he was leaving, I believe it was at the end of the 09 season, he went to management and said, look, I'm running out of time, you got to build a winner around me or trade me. And they said, okay, we'll trade you. And I'm going, fuck you, what are we doing here, right? Like, all the guy wants to do is try and win, and you don't want to do that. Then fuck you, I'm out. And so for 2 years, not a dime. No tickets, no hats, no shirts, no nothing. I remember going, that's fucking stupid, man. And I'm not, it wasn't until Bautista came around a little while later and started tearing the world up, right? But
12?
Yeah, I think it was 11. But yeah, it was, that's the most I've ever held it against a team that, you know, no tickets, no hats, nothing.
See,
like
that. As an Ottawa Senator guy.
Yeah.
I can get behind the idea that I want to take my one asset that I can actually hopefully turn into something. I remember the time thinking it's too bad, it's sad, right? But he is the one chip that we can flip. But
what did they turn it into?
Okay, I was just going to say, is it just me or
Drabeck?
Or
like Anthony Drabeck.
Wow, man, Drabeck.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the real deal.
No, didn't turn out
for sure, man. I have no idea what happens in baseball in terms of return, right?
Right.
They talk about hyped and overhyped prospects and all these things. And you're
best
like,
to keep that in mind as we're sitting here talking about Marcus Stroman, right? Like,
you want
to do this? Here's what you might get.
And I have no idea, like, how in baseball, the whole system is bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to draft you now in high school, but then I'm going to have to draft you again in university, and then I'm going to have to draft you again as a, like, it's bizarre.
Right.
So it is a total crapshoot. Unlike hockey, where we are much more familiar with.
Well, everybody's coming up at the same point. You've either played NCAA or junior or whatever, but we all are pretty, like you said, you got guys coming out of Cuba. You have no fucking clue. They're not even in the draft. Like, they have their own thing.
I'm tearing it up in Curacao.
So, yeah, it's wild in baseball. And, you know, that's sort of the risk, right? You pick the high school kid with the huge ceiling, but he's that much younger, so you don't know. You grab the guy out of college, he's closer to what he's going to be, so lower risk, but probably lower ceiling too.
Well, they drafted Halliday's kid.
Braden, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, it's nice, but I'm not coming, right? He's going to university. He's already committed. It's so
that was always going to happen, though. That,
no, I know, but I'm just saying that is one of those things, and
he's not going to make it anyway.
Right.
Which is too bad. I love that he, you know, he wanted to pitch for Canada at the World Juniors. He said that a couple times. He's like, it's Toronto that feels like home. Like that.
Then let your father go into the hall with a Blue Jay.
I would imagine that wasn't his call, right? But
yeah,
that was pretty cool to watch him pitch for the Canadian junior team against the Jays at World or at spring training. They always have that one game.
Yeah,
that was a year and a half ago now. So I'm glad he's in the organization. I'm not sure he has the upside. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. But,
So
hey, we probably should mention some of the other people in the class.
Mariano Rivera to me is the
Well,
the
so,
only other,
yeah,
I don't
well,
care
okay,
what Harry
right.
fucking
Bean. Yeah, but if you look at it, at first I thought it was only a pitching class.
Yeah.
It's Halladay, it's Lee Smith.
Yeah.
Right, who crushed it as a closer.
Right.
You had Mike
almost as much as.
Yeah, you had Mike Messina.
Yeah.
And Mariano Rivera, right? So pretty good.
Unanimous for Rivera, which you never see.
Well, first ballot for Halladay, 86% of the ballots,
yeah.
Unanimous. Well, to me, that to me is, even in baseball where there's dinks who say, yeah, nobody gets in on the first ballot.
Yeah.
Right? That the fact that he was unanimous.
But you say it's like unanimous. Rivera was unanimous.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's what I'm saying, though, is it's rare.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know that there's a lot of people who say, oh, well, yeah, you know.
One inning. And,
yeah, exactly. You don't get to. But Lee Smith, predominantly closer, too.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then you have Edgar Martinez.
Yep.
Really one of those guys who was the first to be predominantly, for the most of his career, a DH.
Yes.
Right? And Harold Baines. I'm like, Harold Baines, what are you doing on this list? Seems odd, but.
Do you have a problem with the closer or the DH thing?
With Harold Baines?
No, yeah, I do.
Yes. But no, man, I do not.
Because there is an argument to be made, at least on the DH thing. And really, for me, the closer thing is weird. If we're doing pitchers, which obviously we're going to do, but they do only play half the fucking game. Closers play even less than that. I don't have an issue there. I do kind of get the idea, for some reason, that the DH also only plays half the game, but everyone else around him is playing the full game. Like,
yeah. Taxing, super taxing out there in the field.
Just said it's 113 fucking degrees in Cleveland.
I'm gonna
be in Cleveland to begin with. Let alone
kick some grass and look around.
I don't have a problem with DHs as qualified as Edgar Martinez going in, but it's not like I don't get the argument, right?
I'm sure Harold Baines spent quite a bit of time as a DH as well.
Okay,
not entirely. Right? I picture him in the old...
I have no idea why I'm so anti-Harriet.
Yeah.
Well, I really have no idea.
Right? I picture him in the old school White Sox, the 80s White Sox
sure.
jerseys.
Yeah.
And now that I think of it, I can't remember if he was a White Sox, but...
It's just how you see him.
That's how I see him. Yeah. Yep. You were going to say, I'm much older. Is that what you were going to say?
No, not at all. I was just going to say, with an Edgar Martinez, you walk up and you take a couple of swings, you get on base or you don't, and then you go and you sit down again.
Right, but if you look at some, Lee Smith was a starter for a bunch of time and then sort of morphed into it. Look at guys like Dennis Eckersley.
Okay, but now we're back on the pitching thing. You're going to face everybody in that inning. I know you're only playing half the game,
right?
But the DH, you're going to come up three times a game, four times a game. Yeah, you're going to spend the entire rest of the fucking time.
But guess what? If you're not useful, if your bat isn't any good, you're not making it into the Hall of Fame.
Agree. I'm just,
and so to me, I have no issue. If you're just if you're a hump, forget it. If you're a,
Ortiz,
yeah, no, see,
but
he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Frank Thomas, David Ortiz, Prince Fielder.
Yeah, but Frank Thomas played a pile of time at first base.
Yeah, well, might as well be a DH.
Okay, all right. So what? Really, we're only letting in center fielders, second basemen,
shortstops.
That's it.
That's it.
The rest of you plugs don't get in.
It's true, man.
Okay.
And builders.
Yeah. So let's be honest now. But Edgar Martinez was a guy who, it's like in year three, they're like, oof, take your frying pan of a glove and get on the bench.
What's up, Miguel Cabrera?
Yeah.
Right? Like
Teoscar Hernandez.
Wow. Well. I'm not willing to give him the wave to the Hall quite yet, but we'll see.
No, but I mean frying pan glove.
Yeah.
Clank. Oh, Christ. Whatever.
Yeah. No, it's true, man. I don't have a problem with anybody in this class, to be honest with you.
Except you, Harold Baines. Matt wants to fight you by the hydro box after the show. If you can find your way to Bytown, it's on.
Bainstown. Why don't we wind this one down? I think that's it, man.
Sure, man.
That's another episode of Talkan Sports.
It's hot.
It really is. You can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Talkan Audio, facebook.com/Talkan Audio. We're going to get out of here. We'll catch you on the next one.
Peace!
For listening.
listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.